want to give a little introduction on Buddha, and then a little introduction on Buddhism, then also just a little bit on witnessing to Buddhists. If we have time, I will give a little bit about my own personal testimony, how I came from the Buddhist background to Christianity, just a little bit. Many of you have seen the statues of Buddha, I believe, especially when you go to a Chinese restaurant or any Chinese place. And basically, I think most of you believe when you see the statue of Buddha, you see a big fat Buddha with a big smile on him. That's not really Buddha. That's not his. That's not the way his appearance is. Buddha was not a Chinese or any other country. He was born in India. Actually, he was born in Nepal. Those days, Nepal was part of India. And he was born in a little town called Lumbini. And he was born in a palace. His father was a king, and his name is Suddhodana, and his mother was Mahamaya, and Buddha's name is not Buddha. That's just a title. And his name, real name, is Gautama. And when he was born, there was an astrologer who came and said, either this little baby is going to be the emperor, or he's going to be a savior of mankind. And so this little boy, Siddhartha, grew up. That's the name of Buddha. And he grew up to be strong, and he was a handsome man. And he was tall, handsome-looking, slim person, not the fat Buddha that you see in a Chinese restaurant. Actually, you know, Buddhism is like most of the other cults and other world religions. When it goes to different countries, it takes root in their own culture. So for Buddha, when he goes to Cambodia, he becomes more like a Cambodian-type Buddha. Goes to Thailand, becomes like a Thai. And goes to China, becomes like a Chinese. And that's the way it is. And so now, how many of you knew that Buddha was married? Yeah, he was married. And actually, he abandoned his wife. And he was married, and he had a son called Rahula. And he was living in luxury, but the king, he knew that either he's going to be an emperor or he's going to be a savior, a spiritual leader. Now, the king wanted him to be an emperor, his dad. So he kind of enclosed him, not allowing him to see the world, so he might see the misery of the world and he might, go on a different route that, in a sense, that he might become a spiritual leader. He prevented him doing that. But one day, he got the opportunity to go out. And when he went out in the street, he saw rich people, he saw poor people, he saw people who are dying, sick, and he also saw a monk. Then he decided, I want to be a monk, and I want to see what really is life and suffering. So one day in the middle of the night, he left. He left his wife and the child, kissed them goodbye, and just left. Left into the jungles. And he was in the jungle, he was meditating, and he wanted to see, he wanted to deny his passions, the fleshly passions. So he wanted to practice self-denial, bodily passions. So he refused to eat and drink, even to eat and drink water. And so he became skin and bone. And one day there was a girl by the name of Sujata. She felt pity on him and gave him some milk rice to eat because he was at the very verge of death. And so he ate the milk rice that was offered. And then he knew the extreme suffering is not the way for what he's looking for. Okay, so he thought maybe he already experienced the luxuries, the extreme luxuries, all what you have in the palace. Now he went to the extreme suffering. No, now he came to his own conclusion. The best way is to have the middle path. Okay, so what he did was he went and meditated, opened his mind for meditation under a tree called Bodhi tree. Bodhi tree is, for the Buddhists, is a very sacred tree. And a lot of people worship that tree. So he was under this tree and he was open. He opened his mind for meditation. He recalled his previous lives. He saw him one day when he was a monkey, a lion, and all kinds of previous lives came to him. And then, there's a story that there was a rain for about 40 days, and a cobra came and went around his body and protected him from the rain. So on a full moon day, which is the holy day for the Buddhist, Siddhartha, that's the Buddha, finally he understood the answer to the question of suffering, and he became a Buddha when he was 45 years old. Now he attained Nirvana. Probably you may have heard that name, Nirvana, most of you. It means, it literally means that enlightened one. One person that he had conquered suffering. He had conquered reincarnation. Because Buddhists they believe in reincarnation. So once you attain Nirvana, you will not be born again as another reincarnated person. You are done. That's it. That's what is really reincarnation means, that it means nothing. You have come to nothingness. He had many followers, including, they say that his father came, his wife and his son, and a lot of people came and followed him, and he started his ministry when he was about 45 years old. Now, he died at the age of 80 years. And amazingly, a lot of Buddhists, they don't tell you how he died. How he died was food poisoning. It was pork that he ate, and he died of eating pork. So Buddha, his ministry, actually he died probably around 486 BC. Now, a little bit about the teachings of Buddha. And as I said, Buddhists, real teachings of Buddhists, they want to get away. Sorry.
You were Nirvana. You mean like what we would call Nirvana, right?
Yeah. I'm giving the correct pronunciation, the Sinhalese pronunciation, Okay. The Buddhists, one of the things is the real Buddhism, they wanted to get away from greed, craving, and, the senses, the passions, the bodily passions. So that's what the Buddhism teaches. And also they believe in karma. Maybe you have heard the word karma. The word karma has even got into our English dictionary, probably. Many people use the word karma, meaning that if you do something, that thing will come back to you in your next life. I remember when I was a little kid, I had a there was birds, you know, in the trees, so I had a sling, and accidentally I killed a bird. And I couldn't sleep for days thinking that I'm going to be that bird in my next life. And so we were not Buddhists. They don't kill anything, not even a little insect. Or, you know, I remember cobras sometimes go in the jungle and they don't want to kill a cobra because they remember the cobra protect a Buddha. It's a holy snake. So, and also they believe in reincarnation. That means if you do something really bad, if you kill an animal, you will become that animal in your next life. So, Teni Nirvana is a state of complete nothingness. That's what the Buddhists are aiming. But let me tell you something. A lot of Buddhists are not practicing that. If you ask Buddhists just simple questions, they don't know at all. They are just born into a religion. Now, there are two sects of Buddhism. One is called Mahayana Buddhism. The other one is called Theravada Buddhism or Hinayana Buddhism. Mahayana Buddhism is the most popular sect of Buddhism because it includes any type of culture that you have in your country into Buddhism. So it can take anything, whatever culture or any other part of religion, it will include that. And Theravada Buddhism is the more orthodox doctrine of Buddha. And you find Theravada Buddhism mainly, it began in Sri Lanka and Thailand. And so there are really many religions in the world, and each religion has a concept of God or gods, and Hindus believes in polytheism, many gods. Theravada Buddhism, which they don't believe in a supreme god, neither Theravada Buddhism submit to any Hindu gods, but they believe that Buddha is above gods. And it is very confusing. They strictly obey the doctrines of Buddha. So Mahayana Buddhism, they also worship Hindu gods. Now, a little bit about witnessing to Buddhists. I'll be talking more on Buddhism. You know, when you talk about witnessing, we will see more. I would encourage everybody to study on Buddhism, because just like in Acts chapter 17, how Apostle Paul, he studied Stoic and Epicurean philosophers, so he can witness to them. But studying Buddhism is just to get a general idea of what they believe. And once you know, because when you especially witness to Buddhists, they don't even know what they believe in. But if you know more than them, they will have some respect for you, for what you had to say about Christ. Buddhism doesn't talk of any other central issues of sin. There's nothing on sin. They say it's a sin to kill an animal, but they don't see the root of sin or the beginning of sin or creation. They have absolutely no clue of the origin of sin or even the future events. There are no prophecies fulfilled by Buddha. By the way, Buddhism believe that the name of Buddha was Siddhartha Gautama, that's his name. But also they believe that there were Buddhas before, long, long, long time ago, there were different kinds of Buddha, and they are expecting another Buddha to come with a different name. So who is going to be a savior of the world? So Buddhist people are expecting this Buddha to come. And also I see that, you know, of course in Christianity we see how Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies concerning himself. There's a lot of hypocrisy in Buddhism. A lot of hypocrisy. usually, I remember, if you have a son who is very mischievous, you cannot control, the parents will tell him, let's make him a Buddhist monk. Put him in the temple. So, you know, when you become a Buddhist monk, you're kind of, you cannot do anything. So it's like forcing yourself to become holy. And so I've seen a lot of hypocrisy in Buddhism. I've seen a lot of Buddhist monks. I have been to the temples. They have come to our home, and they've been chanting all these prayers and so forth like that. And when there's nobody else, they will drink alcohol. And there are people who have committed, you know, adultery and fornication, sexual activities. All those are very popular because we know that they're all doing this by the flesh, and there's nothing you can you cannot profit your soul doing anything by the flesh, only by the Spirit of God. Another thing is that is very interesting is that it took 400 years for someone to write on Buddhism. Just imagine, 400 years. Just take, we used to do this in school a long time ago, take about 50 people and get into a circle, tell somebody a secret, and go around the circle. At the end, what you are going to hear is totally different. Just imagine, 400 years. And in Buddhism, we have heard stories that Buddha, there is a big temple in Sri Lanka in a small town, and they say how this temple was built because Buddha was flying on the air, and he saw the people, he had compassion on them. So you find all these stories have come into the scriptures of Buddhism. And people, the Buddhists are truly, they really don't know. And it's very hard to believe without any documentation. And when was the last time you heard on the media criticizing Buddhism? you know, but on the other hand, Christianity, just imagine what a blessed Savior we have, is written by his own disciples. They were eyewitnesses. How John, 1 John 1 talks about, John says that that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we have touched upon concerning the word of life. And how Peter said that we did not follow cleverly devised tales that we made known to you, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And they were martyred for their faith. As, you know, so here we see Christianity is founded on faith, on the word of God. Where Buddhism, where are the manuscripts of Buddhism? It's very hard to find any manuscripts of Buddhism. Because Buddhism was originally, began with oral tradition, coming from mouth to mouth for 400 years. So little is known, and it's kind of developed by spoken word. It's like the Hindu Vedas. There are no, those are Hindu scriptures, you know, there are so many different books and Vedas, and there is no real founder. So, however, on the other hand, Christianity, we have over 5,000 known Greek manuscripts. And New Testament alone, there are over 24,000 portions of the New Testament manuscripts. Now, in Buddhism, as I said, even any animals and humans are taken as same, you know. Animal and a human is the same for the Buddhists. You know, humans are considered as an animal. So killing even a small insect is a real bad sin because you might become that insect in your next life. So Now, I have visited, when I first became a Christian, I want to go to the Buddhist temple in Los Angeles. And so with one of my pastor friends, he went actually as a missionary to Sri Lanka later on. And we visited the Buddhist temple in Sri Lanka, and we had a kind of a little confrontation, a debate. And we want to show what Christianity is. Buddhist people are very hospitable, very nice people. That's a deception. They are extremely nice people. And then later on, I asked the Buddhist monks this question. If reincarnation is true, and that means we should have a lot of insects in this world today, not humans, because we kill insects all the time. Even not knowing, when we walk on the streets, there are ants and we kill them. So that means we should become that ant, we should become that insect. That means there should be more insects and little, tiny little ants and mosquitoes and roaches and, you know, more than humans. How is it that even countries like India has a problem of population? They didn't want to talk to me. So that was the end of that. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the word of God at all. So this book is nothing to them. Neither they will not believe in God. So now what evidence do you have when you attend Nirvana? The Buddhists can tell what evidence? No. In the teachings of Buddha, another thing is the teaching comes first. It's in the front. It is a front in Buddha's teach, but the Buddha is in the background. However, in Christianity, Jesus is in the front. Jesus is the center. You know how Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd will give his life for his sheep. He is in the center. Interesting things is, did you notice that even only in Christianity that God is called the Father? Buddha is not called the Father. Allah is not called the Father. Krishna is not called the Father. Have you wondered why? Because the reason is their gods are impersonal gods. But in Christianity, our God is a personal God that we have a relationship. He is a father to his children. He is a living God. There's a divine-human relationship. It is true. Also in Christianity, we say that Christ, we are abiding in him, in Christ. As you know that in Christ means having a union with Christ. It's an act of joining two or more into one, having a union with him. But have you ever heard the Buddhists say that they are in Buddha? Do Buddhists say they pray in Buddha's name? No. You cannot pray in a dead person's name. He's dead. So dead people cannot save you. On the other hand, Christ is alive. Apostle Paul said there were over 500 people who have witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there were eyewitnesses concerning the resurrection. Resurrection is one of the greatest things that you can bring out. Buddha was a sinner who died of eating pork. And you will never hear Buddhists praising Buddha. When was the last time you heard a song of the Buddhists on the radio or praising Buddha or Muhammad? You don't hear, because you cannot praise a dead person. Only a living person that you can praise. So dead people cannot save anybody. Also, when was the last time you heard the Buddhist monks going to Arinjaya to save the cannibals. They don't go. But they do come to America. And why do they come to the United States? The reason is, this is where the money is. This is where a lot of people, you can deceive a lot of people with meditation, looking through your third eye. You will see something different now. And so it is amazing that there are so many people who are ignorant and gullible for Buddhism. When did you hear the last time that the Buddhist scriptures were burned? Buddhists will not believe in the Bible at all. But how to witness to them if they don't believe in the Bible? They cannot, you know, of course, there are different perspectives among Christians that some theologians believe that you can witness to unbelievers by using science and history apart from the Bible. I don't believe it. I believe that this is the Word of God, and nobody is going to get saved without this Word of God. If we are going to witness to anybody, even if they don't believe in God, even if they don't believe in the Bible, this is what we are going to use. Now let me tell you something. Only by God's grace that we are saved. When I was a Buddhist, the Buddhism is basically trying to be, you know, do good, 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 and attain Nirvana. And when I was probably about 13, 14 years old, my dad and my mom, my great-great-grandfather, built a Buddhist temple in our home. Last name is Bibile. Our hometown is Bibile too. And my mom was very religious, and I showed her that what you are, because she was, actually she was not practicing the real Theravada Buddhism. I went to a Buddhist school. My brothers went to a Christian, they went to Christian schools, but I became a Christian by God's grace. At that time, I told my mom, you know, you need to practice Theravada Buddhism. I taught them the real Buddhism. Then they said, we want you to become the Buddhist priest in our hometown. And they wanted me to be the Buddhist monk. And, well, God had other plans for me before the foundation of the world. And I did not know that. Only when I became a Christian, I knew that. So, how to witness to the Buddhists? You know, me, for the first time, I had never ever touched a Bible for 27 years. But one day, there was a Bible. Just open it. I couldn't understand anything. Because everything was like Greek to me. So I was going through and I saw Proverbs. Wow, that seems interesting. And I started to just read Proverbs. I understood something. Makes sense. That kind of, you know, gave me curiosity to read the Word of God. Only by reading the Word of God that I came to know the Lord. So, we can use still the Word of God to witness to the Buddhists. The Buddhist doesn't believe in creation. The Bible talks on creation in Job and Psalm 19 and so forth like that. And we can talk about sin, talk about Jesus, you know. These are the things that they don't know. The good news of Jesus Christ. They don't know about sin at all. So the Buddhists, they are absolutely, totally lost. And we have a great opportunity. I believe we have a ministry in Cambodia. You know, many of you go there. And learning a little bit about Buddhism is going to be very helpful to witness to them. And to show the truth and the gospel so souls will be saved for the glory of God. Any questions? Oops, hands are raising. Go ahead.
When they pray, to whom or what are they praying?
They have, actually the Buddhist scriptures are Pali. It's an old ancient language, Indian language. The most, also they have Sanskrit a little bit even older than Pali. Most of all their scriptures are Pali, so they don't know what they're talking. Okay, that's one thing. I used to take a little statue of Buddha when I went to school, you know, and I keep that and I pray and I just repeat those prayers. But only the Buddhist monk can interpret what you are praying. So really speaking, if you want to know the doctrines of Buddhism, you need to learn Pali. And a lot of people, they don't know that. So
they recite it. And you're looking at the statue.
Oh, when they pray like that, they just say just any carnal prayers, give me, or, you know, I used to go and worship this elephant god before, and Buddha, elephant god is a Hindu god, it's very good if you want to take an exam, you know, the elephant has good memory, and you pray to the elephant god. So that's what I did. And we used to pray and ask, give me good memory, help me to pass the exam, and so forth like that. And there's another god, as you see, on a peacock, and he has a lot of hands every direction, a lot of faces, and that is for protection. So, you know, if you need protection, one hand can save you here, you know, another hand can help you this way, you know, heads are all over, so that's the way it is. Now, Buddha is, you just pray to Buddha as a central figure for his teachings. So even Theravada Buddhism, they are somehow connected to Mahayana in indirect way. Buddhism is a cult of Hinduism. So when Buddhism went to China, it became probably, I don't know whether it's Jainism, or went to Japan, it became Zen Buddhism. So this is all meditation. It's heavily demonic influence. And it's basically, you know, that's what it is. And, you know, of course we know that Satan can come as an angel of light, and Satan can also perform miracles and all those things too.